Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, soul power, spirit power, you power. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, how can you really enhance your life? By relating to nature. We often hear of this, especially whenever we read or we discuss indigenous cultures, that there's that connection with nature that really makes a difference. Well, my guest today, Joseph Cardillo, he has decided to put together a thought process relating to the seasons, to the natural flow of life that we all experience. Now, we think of seasons as being four, right? Well, how about five? You're going to have to listen in to find out how he managed to get a fifth season in, where traditionally it's been known as four, to cultivate the wisdom that perhaps can enrich our lives. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Joseph, this is a concept. When I saw your material, I said, all right, five seasons. That's not very logical. What do you mean five seasons? And, of course, your book very nicely goes into how you were able to divvy them up. But I want my audience to know about you. You have been a writer in the fields of health, mind, body, spirit, just like this material, psychology. You have really been involved with the mind-body connection, and you have contributed to a number of very well-known publications. What was it that spurred you to seek out a different perspective from your peers that you came into contact with on a daily basis? Why did you decide to take a different path?
Well, I think, you know, and I did this very, very young. You know, I was an early teenager, and I grew up, I think if I understand your question correctly, I grew up just outside of Binghamton, New York, and which is in the vicinity of the Catskill Mountains, and there was a university, Colgate University, not far from where I was growing up, and they had meditation chapels there. And so, at a very young age, on Friday nights, instead of I might play basketball at the YMCA like many of my friends and with many of my friends, but on Friday nights I used to visit the meditation chapel at Cornell University or at Colgate University and learn how and practice meditation at a very young age. And I also got involved in Asian martial arts, particularly Chinese martial arts, right around that same time at the age of 14. So both of those things fueled my interest in Eastern wisdom and many of the things that are connected with that, such as, you know, the mind-body spirit connection. And I want to say that my last book, two books ago, my book, Can I Have Your Attention, just was released in China a few weeks ago in Chinese. And I was so happy because, you know, that wisdom was given to me when I was just a very young boy and has matured in me through all these years, and, you know, was the core of all my studies, the core of all my research, the core of all my writing. And to send it back to China where it originated, and to have them accept it, you know, with open arms and publish it in their own language was a very, very humbling experience for me, but at the same time, a very prideful experience. So that, and you know, and I wanted to share this with everybody I know because it's literally changed my life.
You have a quote by William Shakespeare.
Yes.
One touch of nature makes the whole world kin. And that is really the truth. There
Absolutely.
Is no way we can separate ourselves from it. There is an isolationist attitude, I think, that has been in positioning, and it has been taught. This is not unusual with human beings, and you go through these cycles, and here we are in a time frame where the recognition of the interconnectedness of everything is really coming to the forefront, and this is very important because it is for our benefit as well as for the environment that we're in. But just using the word environment is very limiting, I think, because the environment is so huge. You know, it's not just a little green pill of some kind that you pop it, you've got it. It's extremely complex, and it is very intricate, and it is a fascinating drama, if you will, to observe that's going on every moment of life. Now, you start your book off with the five seasons, and you said this awareness came from Asia. The philosophies that have come out of that part of the world, I am always very much impressed with on many levels. Yet if you look at their history has so much volatility to it, but it's the ones that would really understand and were wise enough to write and be able to communicate and leave legacy that we today can learn from. And I think that this is what you've incorporated in your book. But tell us how, in the Asian philosophy, the five seasons were significant. And what are those five seasons?
Well, okay. So it could get complex, but I'm going to make it really simple. My basis for studies and the core of my studies are holistic psychology and mind body medicine, which you know is owing completely to traditional Chinese medicine. And so in traditional Chinese medicine and even Asian medicines, there are five universal energies, and you know we call them cycles or movements. But let's just use the word energy because that makes sense to us here.
Mm-hmm.
So there are five different kinds of energy, and everything in the universe, from the biggest thing, you know, a constellation, to the smallest thing, a particle, a subatomic particle, everything in the universe is subject to those five cycles or those five different kinds of energy. So even though my book is about the five seasons, everything in the universe has those five different types of energy. Even the cells in our body, the organs in our body, the whole body, and then, of course, all of nature. And so in nature, the seasons exemplify, they're an example of how those energies show themselves so you can see what they are and how they are different and how they coordinate into one big cycle. So you have five different types of energy. The first energy is the energy that's exemplified in spring. And I want to back up for a second and say that nature made it huge for us. Nature made the seasons huge so that we can't miss how these energies work. And if you understand how they work in that big sense, then you'll understand how they work even at the molecular sense. Spring exemplifies that kind of energy that is in all things. From an entire constellation to a little particle. Spring is the power of new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so traditional Chinese medicine, it is a rising, bursting, seething, powerful, forward-moving energy. and you need a lot of energy to begin anything. Summer continues that powerful energy, and during the summer cycle, the energy peaks. And so it's the energy of abundance. And so this energy that started in spring, which is peaking in summer, is now the energy that allows us to grow things. So if we even think about it, we need a lot of energy to start anything, even a new day. Mm-hmm. As we wake up every day, we need a lot of energy to get things going. And then we need to peak that energy to make sure that those things grow properly. And then there's late summer. And late summer is the fifth season. Late summer is the coordinator or the captain of it all. And I'll explain that in a minute. But late summer is what in Asian wisdom and in Asian medicines is known as the center. And in fact, the word China means center. So centering is, yes, the word China means center. It means the middle. Mm-hmm. And so centering and rootedness is quite important in Asian medicine. But centering means something a little different than some people may think. And again, I'll come back to that. In autumn, the energy starts to wane, and so it starts to go down. And so as the energy goes down, we are also most abundant. And so after we've grown these things and the energy is going down in autumn, then this is where we let go of the things that we grew that weren't really important or appropriate to us and our direction that we're headed. And this is where we gather the things that we did grow that are important to us and will take us in the direction, the goal that we want. And then winter is the lowest point. Or is that point of least energy? It's a low energy, but that energy, it's a darker energy, and that the energy of winter is the most creative energy of the entire cycle. So in the winter cycle, we create those things that we're going to give birth to in the spring. So the mind during the winter cycle is at that point where it can dream its deepest dreams, and then connect with the right energy to make it happen so that you can seed those dreams in the spring. And so when we live that way, I mean, when we're in sync with the seasons that way, in accordance with traditional Chinese medicine and Asian medicine and their philosophies, you'll see that the philosophy and medicines of the East are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
When we're living that way, when we're living according to those cycles, the mind and body are balanced, and that's the way we were meant to live. So that's a long explanation, but you see those cycles not just in the seasons, but in every minute that we live. Even in the conversation that we have, you'll see that there needs to be a bursting energy to start it, a continued energy to reach the peak of the conversation, and then as things start to wane or as the energy starts to go down, then that's where we gather the abundance of what we've learned and do something with it.
This, I think, is so significant because we often don't realize how very, very integral the environment, for example, that we live in, how that integrates into our psyches and into our rhythms and what we do. And
completely.
That is also why so many people, if they're in a position to afford it, they'll have a winter place, let's say, where the sun is shining, if they have a home in the far north where mm-hmm. the sun shines during the summer, and then they go someplace else so they have the sunshine during the winter and not have to deal with the darker hours. But I know it's something that I think one of the biggest lessons that's being brought across to us in our modern-day society, and you address this in the five seasons, is how, as you said, during the summer, we have the longer daylight hours. We mm-hmm. want to be outside. I know that's how I am. I mean, exercise, wonderful. I don't mind exercising, but I want to be outside. I don't want to be in the house. I don't want to be doing something according to a DVD that's fine, and I know logically I can do it, but I don't want to do that. I want to be outside. I want to hear the birds. I want to smell the smells. I want to just have a whole different feeling. And it's invigorating. It actually is invigorating. Our world today, people have become so engrossed with technology that they are isolating themselves from this. And then they wonder why they're so very, very stressed. They are extremely stressed. And I see this in younger people where you didn't used to see it. Kids used to go out and play at random, and nobody thought about it. They'd be out playing in the streets, playing whatever they were playing. It could be baseball. Every once in a while, I see children out. I was seeing them last night, 8 o'clock at night. There were these little girls. They were out riding their bicycles, their helmets on, their bright pink bikes, and they're riding their bicycles. And Mom is sort of walking close by, just making sure they're okay and they're fine. But I thought, gee whiz, why is it that we do not feel good about letting the children just play, letting them explore, letting them get dirty, get tree sap on their hands, looking and talking about the things that are around, getting away from the technology that is so encompassing the lives of people, the minds of people, where they just feel like they're not a whole person? Because it's an amazing thing that occurs. Stress, you could be stressed to the max. Now, if you go out and, let's say, take a walk on your lunch hour or get yourself outside during the summer months, it makes a difference. Now, the signal, or not the signal, the sign of fire, the symbol of fire is related to summer. And that makes sense to me because it's hot. It's really hot.
Yes. And see, the thing that I go into in the book is that each one of these cycles, each one of these energies, it's neither a good thing or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, but the idea is to try to understand the cycle. For example, summer is symbolized by fire, to try to understand what it is, and then to see how and when you use it properly and when you're not using it properly. Because when you for example, I mean, fire is the symbol of this incredible energy that's going to peak in the summer, and that allows us to really get things done. It allows us to have incredible focus. We can have sharp focus. We can have sharp concentration and so on. But if we overdo it, we'll burn out. If we overdo it, we'll get headaches. If we overdo it, we'll feel anxiety. If we overdo it, we'll have insomnia. And if you overdo that, then that leads to other illnesses,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Digestive problems, Crohn's disease, and even cancers and so on. So the stress comes from being in conflict with the energy of that particular cycle. And, of course, those cycles aren't just seasonal. They go throughout. They work throughout the day too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and see, what I cover in my book is I try to explain to readers how they feel when they're in sync with that cycle. So how you feel when you're in sync with the energy of summer. And then how you feel when you're starting to get out of sync with it, so that you can balance yourself and stay healthy. And, you know, you find out, you know, I talked about some health issues there, but then the mental health issues are real too. For example, sadness, depression, low self-esteem, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Spring has an incredible energy, an incredible bursting energy, and coming out of winter, it's a really powerfully felt energy. But in spring, we throw ideas out, we scatter all our great ideas out, and so it's easy to get excited about all these new potential things that we might grow. But on the other hand, some people have a hard time with that, and they get depressed because there's so many things happening that they can't focus on any one thing, or that they want something to happen really fast and it's not happening because it takes time for, you know, certain ideas and certain goals to germinate. And so, you know, the mental health issues are real as well. And, you know, you feel yourself going out of balance when, you know, you start to get frustrated because things aren't happening as quickly as you'd like, or, you know, you've got four or five things out there and you can't pay attention to all of them. And, you know, my book tries to help with getting those feelings balanced.
Benjamin Franklin invented the Farmer's Almanac, which is extremely
yes,
popular even today. And he actually was the one that brought to public attention two words, Indian summer. That
yes.
is what you describe as one of the five seasons. And I think it's one of the most incredibly beautiful times of the year. Absolutely
it
incredible. It's just that edge where you have the warmth during the days, you have the coolness of temperatures in the evening. Depending on what part of the world you live in, you'll see a changing of colors in the leaves because of the variances of temperatures. There's all kinds of chemistry stuff that can explain it, but I don't go there. I just love the color. And I just find that before winter comes in, before Father Winter begins to bring his cloak of chill to cover everything, there is this wonderful, wonderful beauty that is there in that season. And you describe it so well, and you talk about a man by the name of Jack, who in this time, you know, he's a fellow that has a lot of big goals, and then he becomes angry because things don't come together. Tell us about Jack and why you identified him with Indian summer.
Because I think that in Indian summer is in Asian wisdom and also in Asian medicine. Remember, we said that in Asian philosophy and medicine, which are again one and the same, the center is perhaps the most important element of all, and that is because without the center, there's no consciousness, there's no awareness for everything else that's happening around you. And the center, or the fifth season, the Indian summer, the center in Asian wisdom is the self with a capital S. So some people choose to think of that as your deepest self-awareness, who you are at your deepest level, the person you really are, the person you know you are when you go inward. And other people choose to interpret it even as the soul. And so the self has a very spectacular role in Asian wisdom and Asian medicine, and that place is the place that coordinates everything that happens to you. And it makes sense because if you use your deepest, the deepest person that you know you are to coordinate what you do, what you say, what you think, where you go, and so on, all those things will have more meaning to us. And if they have more meaning for us, they'll bring us closer to our goals, they'll be more deeply satisfying, and they'll be more deeply meaningful for us. So, Jack was an individual who didn't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do that. And so what looked attractive for him, and this happens to so many people, all of us, myself included, when we're not paying attention to who we really are, something looks really good. Because it's good for other people, because it's good for somebody we know, and so it looks good to us. And then we spend time going for it, we achieve it, and then we don't understand why we're not happy after we achieved it,
mm-hmm.
like a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, I've taught over 20,000 students. And so, I've seen this happen over and over and over again, and I try to throw some ideas out early on to my students so that they maybe can avoid a situation like this. But, you know, so many people go after a degree, then they go after employment, then they go after all these things that they think will make them happy, and then all of a sudden they wake up one day and they're not happy at all because although those things were great for somebody else, they weren't great for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this person that we are on the inside, this this individual that we really are, this unique person that we are, wants unique things. And so we should pay attention to who that person is and let that person make our choices for us, and we'll be the happiest, and we'll be more harmonious with other people, and we'll fit in wherever we go, and we'll be healthier.
You're making some very good points here, and I would just like to interject something in here. And I'm coming from my own personal space. Too many times we do not really have an awareness of what really fills us, because when we're doing what we love to do, it's just we're doing. We're not forcing it. We're not trying to make anything happen. It's just the joy of doing it. And I think that so many times we're comparing ourselves with other people, and
Absolutely.
We may have other people around us that say, if you don't have a college degree, you're not going to be anything in this life. This is just the way it is, blah, blah, blah. Or you'll have someone else wanting to live through you, let's say it's a parent or even a friend. There can be friends that want you to live as they want to or desire to live, even though that's not really what they want. Their aspirations are encompassing you, saying, but you can do this, so you go ahead and do it, and I'll be back here. We are very interesting as human beings. And I think the older I get, the more I'm intrigued and appreciate the diversity that it takes to make life the tapestry of uniqueness that is living and expressing itself in so many different modalities. And it just is amazing to me. And I think that the appreciation of where you are right in a moment, where you might say, I absolutely, totally love having a cup of hot chocolate with an Oreo cookie at 5 a.m. in the morning and hearing my cat purr. Now, someone may say, oh, that's great, but that's being lazy. Oh, my goodness, you just don't get it. Why in the world would you waste your time having an Oreo cookie? Don't you realize you're going to put on 10 pounds if you do that? I mean, I can hear all of this dialogue. You have all these different positionings. And then there might be someone that whispers in the background, you got guts, kid. Anyone that admits they're going to have a cup of hot chocolate with an Oreo cookie and listening to purring of their cats, you don't belong in a mental institution. Congratulations on being true to yourself. Now, I know that's absolutely ridiculous, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Part of being a human being is discovering our own uniqueness. And
that's
that
right.
is, I think, the journey. How do you
that's
feel
right.
about that?
I feel completely about that. I think that's the whole thing. I think that the fifth season is the answer to everything. It's the centered self. It's the person you are at your deepest. It's knowing what that person was born to do and going out and helping that person, who is you, do that. And when you're in sync with the seasons, you do that naturally, just like you said. You flow. Your mind flows. Your body flows. And we talk about flow a lot in my book, The Five Seasons. We talk about that as a core element, to put the mind and body in flow so that you're doing things. You don't even feel that you're doing anything. You're just you're living, but you're living from your happiest, healthiest core.
It's a phenomenon that I think is fascinating. And Joseph Cardillo, your book, The Five Seasons, I think is a book that if I were to recommend to my listeners to do something with it, because it's not a big book, it would be, go ahead and read it through. Just read it. Don't try to make anything of it. Just read it. And if you like, you can copy my habit of having a highlighter handy. Anything that pops out that you really enjoy, make a note of it. You know, just put that little highlighter in it. I know it's making a mark in a book, but that's okay. And then, why not keep it by your bedside or someplace where you can pick it up each season and maybe look at how you can work with an upcoming season? I think so many times we just beat ourselves up because we think we're supposed to be superhuman beings of some kind. Maybe it's watching too many Marvel comic movies, But it is something we need to realize, that there is a rhythm and a harmony, and every one of us is unique. And this is something that I think, as a book, you can read in segments. And every time you read it, you'll find a little bit of yourself that you did not even know was there. Now, you can go to www.josephcardillo.com, and his last name is spelled C-A-R-D-I-L-L-O. And you'll find out more about his classes and the book itself, and I think you'll really enjoy it. It's a very unique perspective, and it is one that can enrich your life in a fascinating way. Joseph Cardillo, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful.
This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget, check out josephcardillo.com. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to corporatedirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for corporatedirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hello, and welcome back. I hope wherever you are, it is as absolutely magnificent as it is here in the Pacific Northwest. My goodness. When I met the day, I was astonished to see the sky totally, magnificently blue, a robin eggs blue, and the trees were just ablaze with the light of the sun. Oh, it was just awesome. And I just love these summer mornings in the Pacific Northwest, and I was sharing with my guest that I had a brother-in-law who came into the Seattle area one summer, and he had come on a business trip, and he went into this business building and was meeting with a group of people, and shortly after he arrived, everybody introduced themselves. Next thing he knew, he was sort of put into a corner, and they all together said, "Now you must swear something." And he said, "What am I supposed to swear?" This is a little intimidating when you're visiting a bunch of colleagues. They said, "You must swear when you go back east to Maryland that you will tell everyone it rained the whole time. The sun never shines in the Pacific Northwest." And he just burst out laughing. He said, "Okay, I will swear, I think." Of course, it was absolutely not possible to keep it, and everybody just had a real good laugh. But the typical belief is that here in the Pacific Northwest, we live in kayaks, and we have to have our houses on floating apparatus so that we can get around because we have so much rain. Actually, there are more areas in the country that have rain than we do. But when you have days like this, when people are in the Pacific Northwest and they see the beauty, it's breathtaking. It really, really is. It's just like being up, to me, like being in Alaska. you will find that you go into areas of Alaska that you just, during the summer, it's spectacular. I think it's so spectacular up here anyway, no matter what time of the year it is. But anyway, we've just got a glorious day. I wanted to share with you the phone number if you would like to call in and chat with me today, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I have a story for you this morning. We're stepping back in time. We're going to go back to 1900. That was the year my grandmother was born. Well, she was only a few months old when this event occurred. And it occurred on July 28th. It occurred in a small Italian town of Monza. Now, there were some coincidences that started happening in the lives of a king and the owner of a small restaurant. Now, the king was King Umberto I of Italy. The restaurant owner's name was Umberto. Now, he, the king, was arriving in this little town, and he was going to be presenting some award to some athlete. There was some big deal that was going on. And his king and his aide, they went for dinner, and they went to Umberto's restaurant. And when the king was seated at the table, the patrons would look at the king and then the owner of the restaurant. Now, not only did they have the same name, but the people were aghast. The king and the restaurant owner, who had never met each other, looked like twins. They had the same build, facial features. You could put them side by side. They looked like identical twins. Well, the two men had the chance, obviously, to talk to each other, and this is some fascinating detail. It's all recorded. Both of them were born on March 14th, 1844, in the town of Turin. Both of these men were married to women named Margherita. Both of these men had named their sons Vittorio. And they both had been decorated, the king and the restaurant owner, for bravery at the same time in 1866 and in 1870. Now, the restaurant owner, after they had this fascinating conversation with all of these parallels in their lives being discussed, the king was said to have turned to his aide and made this remark: "I intend to make that man a Calaviv of the crown of Italy tomorrow. Be sure he comes to the event." Well, the very next day, the king, because he didn't see his double anywhere, he asked about Umberto, and he was told that the man had died earlier that day in a shooting accident. And the king was just stunned. This was just something that was a big shock to him. So he asked his aide to find out when the funeral was so that he could attend. After he'd said those words, three shots rang out, and those bullets pierced the king's heart, killing him. Parallels of two men who had never met each other, and they both died on the same day. Fascinating phenomena. You just never know. All kinds of interesting stories. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. All you need to do is give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. And if you're a first-time caller, I just need your first name or your initial. And I love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, relax. Let go, and let me give you information. And if you have a particular concern or interest, you can always ask me about it. And let's see what I get for you. Donna Sebo here again, 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about leading out loud. Terry Pierce has a fabulous publication, and it's dealing with authenticity. It is dealing with the components of leadership, and all of us have components. We may not get recognized as a CEO of a company, but just because someone's a CEO or holds a high positioning doesn't mean they're a leader. They may not be a leader at all. So what really is a leader? How would you define a leader? Many of us would define a leader as someone that has a top positioning. But that's not necessarily so. So we're going to find out more about what we can do to be our own leaders in our own lives and also to inspire others to step up to their own mark of leadership as well. So that's what we've got tomorrow. And then we are going to be talking about, well, those extra inches and pounds that we don't really want. George Leonardo is a man that weighed over 400 pounds. When I looked at his before and after pictures, I was stunned, absolutely stunned. They just didn't look like the same person. Well, he's going to share his story with us, and I think you'll find it interesting. And then Marta Williams will be talking about animals. And for those of you who are just fascinated with the animal world, I think you will enjoy her book, My Animals, Myself. And I think you'll really like the stories that she has to share. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. I wanted to touch on some health information that has come out. As I mentioned, here in the Pacific Northwest, the sun is out. My goodness, I learned a long time ago that in the Pacific Northwest, it's a good thing to do seminars during the winter, because when it comes to summertime, people want to go. They want to be out on the water. They want to be out in the sunshine, because it's just a joyous experience. And I think that is always going to be the case. But sunshine, not only does it affect our wellness with our bodies being able to produce naturally vitamin D, we're discovering so many things about how important it is to be active outdoors in nature, using common sense. Don't bake yourself until you look like a raw beet. But there are some points of health information that are really coming out, and this is quite significant. But it has to do with not here in the United States, but in Tehran. That's right. MS has increased almost 7 times between 1989 and 2005. Now, this is the latest research that's been compiled. It always takes time to compile this information. In Iran's central province of Isfahan, the incidence of MS nearly tripled from 2005 to 2009. Now, they said that a study done by Oxford University thinks that some of the blame for this extraordinary jump in MS is due to some of the forced cultural shifts in dress. This is fascinating information. The covering of the head and the bodies of women, totally covering it. And they said, we've known for a long time that the lack of sunlight and MS, which is a neurological disease, it frequently will strike people in their 20s and their 30s, and women more often than men. So what happens with this disease? Well, the immune system attacks the protective coverings on your nerve fibers, and this has been something that in research they have found it's very common in people at higher latitudes, and they feel it has a very, very strong connection with vitamin D. Now, here are some studies that have been done in the United States and Europe. And this is about babies. That's right. Women that are pregnant, babies whose mother were pregnant during cold, dark months, have a higher risk of MS than babies born in October whose mothers had spring and summer pregnancy. Now, there are a couple of researchers there. They have really been involved in studying genetics, but they said, and they don't want to violate any cultural norms, So the hijab that the women wear, they say, you need to be aware of this, so you need to have vitamin supplementation. And it goes for a lot of people in different cultures. It's not just the Iranian culture. It goes for many Orthodox Jewish women who dress in these clothing styles that inhibit the absorption of vitamin D from the sun. Now, they find, as of 2011, that Iranians generally have very low levels of vitamin D, but they say we're also seeing MS going up in many other places, like southern Italy. You wouldn't expect it to go up there. Norway, Kuwait, and Japan. Now, they really are having to pay attention to this, but they said when it comes to the people in Iran, they're looking for specific causes. And they say there are so many things that we don't give consideration to, one of them being clothing. Now, what happens during the summer? When it's warm, clothing comes off, right? You want to bask in the sun. Now, you don't want to lay there, like I said, until you become blood red like a beet. But you are letting the body breathe. This is very, very important. That's why the Polynesians and so many of your native people that lived in tropical environments, they didn't wear a lot of clothes. And when the Puritans came into their environment, or the Europeans, they were dressed to the nines. Well, they had all kinds of sickness. The natives that lived in their natural environment dressed accordingly because they realized that you needed to let the body breathe. Benjamin Franklin used to take what he called air baths. Well, that was unheard of. That was really looked down upon, especially by the puritanical attitudes about the body. But this is healthy. This is something that's very important. And a lot of our clothing materials cause a negative reaction. So enjoy the sun. Enjoy wherever you are. Don't bundle yourself up in the inside where you don't get any sunshine. Get out of doors. Enjoy. These situations are evolving because we're not paying attention. It really does make a difference, and just taking supplements may not help your body as much as the natural stuff will. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Baseball fields, well, everywhere you go in the community, there's got to be a place where you can play ball. Baseball is a game that Americans still have a passion for. And, of course, here in the Seattle area, it's a big thing. But I was hearing a comment that was being made about a person. This just happened, I think, day before yesterday. And I saw a little blip on a newscast, something about baseball, and a person's name, Jackie. And I found it fascinating that some information crossed my desk yesterday. And I just thought, click, I love synchronicity. Here we are. I thought it was Jackie of fame, baseball fame, and I thought, it wasn't that Jackie. It was a woman. That is right. It was about, and I had just heard a tiny, tiny clip of it. It was about a 17-year-old woman named Jackie Mitchell. And I had never heard of this woman. I'm not a big sports person anyway. But she is an amazing individual. Why? She struck out Babe Ruth, and she struck out Lou Gehrig. Now, for those of you that are baseball fans, you're going to say, nah, that can't happen. Well, it did. The time frame is in the 1930s, and there is, in the Hall of Fame, there is a small exhibit on women in baseball. Now, all women teams, going back a little bit in history, were competing against each other as early as 1860s. And it would draw a lot of attention because typically women just didn't do sports. So this was entertainment. People laughed at them. And Deborah Shattuck said, it was looked at as a show, a burlesque of the game. They didn't feel women could be good at this at all. And the first to appear at the turn of the last century, as far as women athletes in the leagues, baseball's minor leagues, was Lizzie Arlington. Now, she wore bloomers. Boy, that was, oh my goodness, that was really daring stuff in those days. And when you think of what we do today, oh my goodness. Anyway, she wore bloomers, and she was pitching for the Reading, Pennsylvania Coal Heavers against the Allentown Peanuts in 1898. So Jackie Mitchell wasn't the first woman to play organized baseball. However, in 1931, during the Depression, she created a sensation of sensations. Now, she actually was coached by a professional ball player. His name was Dazzy Vance, Charles Arthur Dazzy Vance. Now, he eventually went on to lead the National League in strikeouts for seven straight seasons. Now, Jackie, her family had moved to Chattanooga, and she ended up joining a baseball school. Baseball school? I didn't even know they had one. Well, they did, and it was affiliated with Chattanooga's City Class AA minor league team, the Lookouts. Now, she had a mean curveball. And when you look at Jackie, she's not all that big. She was something else, though. She was a powerhouse. And the president of the Lookouts group, his name was Joe Engel, he decided that he wanted young Jackie Mitchell to be on the team. And according to history, they believe it's one of the first professional baseball contracts given to a woman. Now, why is this so exceptional? Well, at the time in the 1930s, the Yankees were the hot team. That's right. And they just really had fun with Jackie. None of this stuff would be allowed today, but these are some of the comments that were made. Curves won't be all on the ball when pretty Jackie Mitchell takes the mound. We just had somebody getting all kinds of heck by different sportscasters because of making a remark about a woman's attractiveness as a sports figure. Ah, how times have changed. Well, you know what? I'm going to have to tell you more of this story tomorrow because we're out of time. Ah, Jackie's story is a fascinating one. I'll share the rest of the story with you tomorrow. This is Donna Siebel. Won't you join me? It's a delight sharing this time with you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Get out in that sunshine. Live life, enjoy, and count your blessings. You have so much to be grateful for, and I'm very grateful for you. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to share real people with real stories. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.